Hello, you are listening to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. I'm Mummy Imperfect, aka Rina. Welcome. Swagatam. Jiayanu. And I don't think I know how to say welcome in any other language. But I hope you are doing well. Thank you for joining me for episode 16 of series 2 of the podcast. Now, I feel like a lot of people have been struggling this week. Like, people who've kept me going through the whole of the coronavirus outbreak so far, they are starting to now struggle themselves. Because, you know, it's a long time. It's week 8 of the lockdown. But this is what it's all about. Sisterhood. You know, you lift each other up and support each other when you need it. People have ups and downs. It's life, isn't it? We just have to kind of check in with everybody, I think. So that's what I've been trying to do. I myself was struggling last week. I had PMT, so everyone in my house was really getting on my nerves. And the children noticed that I wanted to spend very little time with them, poor things. But what can you do? I was trying my best, but you know, those hormones are a bitch. They are. But this week, I'm better. I'm not on my period anymore, so it's all good. I had to use tenor pads for weak bladders instead of my regular pads because that is what my husband bought me when I wrote down sanitary towels on the list. He bought 2 packs of them. And these things are like mattresses, they're thick, you know. And I was like, oh, I needed sanitary towels. These are for people who leak wee. Then my 11-year-old piped up, because, you know, there's always a kid listening. She went, that's good then, Mummy. You can wear them when you do skipping. Because remember that time a bit of wee came out? Thanks, love. It was like one drop and it was one time. All right. Okay, it was 2 drops and it was 2 times. But listen, give me a break, right? I've had 3 kids and I'm sure I will be fine if I remember to do my pelvic floor exercises. I'm doing them right now. I'm doing them. Apparently you're supposed to do them when you brush your teeth or another regular activity to remind you to do them. So maybe my thing will be like, I'm going to remember to do them when I do the podcast, which is once a week. But then it's better than nothing, right? Right? But just in case, I think I'm going to hang on to those tenor pads. Anyway, let's move on. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about kids going back to school, and I speak to TV and radio presenter Saima Ajram about being in lockdown thousands of miles away from home. But first, it is important that I mention schools. So Boris Johnson has a conditional plan for primary schools opening again on June the 1st. So the reopening will begin with the youngest pupils in reception and year 1 plus year 6. And then, apparently, all primary school children will return to school for a month if feasible. For secondary schools, those kids that are taking exams next year may get at least some time with their teachers before the holiday. That's in quotation marks. I don't know. I mean, the details are still being worked out, but one thing is for sure, things will be very different in the classroom. So what are other countries doing anyway? Let's have a little talk about that. So Denmark started a phased return to school on April the 15th. Some parents protested and they kept the children at home, understandably. In Wuhan, where the virus started and schools have been closed since January, officials announced that final year pupils will return to the classroom on May the 6th. So I think they've been doing that, phasing it all in. In France, schools reopened gradually from May the 11th, starting with kindergartens and primary schools. And pupils aged 11 to 15 will be expected to wear face masks. So in Germany, state by state, children have returned to the classroom, starting with the oldest primary school or those about to take exams. And classrooms there are doing social distancing. The schools that have reopened in China, children are wearing face masks, and in some places, they have their temperatures checked by thermal imaging cameras on arrival. So there is a lot to think about on the issue of sending your kids back to school. Like, does the child have health conditions? Do the parents or anyone else they live with have health conditions? Do parents want their young child to have to socially distance at school with their friends and their teachers? So as I always wanted to see what the sisterhood was saying about sending their kids back to school, and here are some of the responses.
I have 3 children. I am a mental health solicitor, and I'm still working. I am still conducting remote hearings from home. So for me, the idea of mine returning to school in June would be helpful, again, because I am working. And when I'm in these hearings, although it's remote, I'm at home, I have to be totally committed and dedicated to representing my client. And, you know, I have a 3-year-old. The other two, you know, 10 and the 6-year-old could be entertained and, you know, I could keep them quiet. But the 3-year-old, that would not happen. So if they could return to school, you know, as long as the school, you know, have safeguards in place to protect both staff and, you know, students, children, I'm all for it. You know, and I add that, you know, as a key worker, I have been using the school. So, you know, I personally feel comfortable with it because I have to work. And, you know, essentially I need childcare. And if school's the place, then, you know, I'm for it.
In reference to this children going back to school in June, potentially, it's not something that I will be participating in. I have a chronic health condition, which means that I can send Amari to school at the moment, and I refuse to do so. I'd rather suffer than send her to school where potentially she could pick something up. I mean, you know, we've got the highest death rate in the whole of Europe. You know, doing things like this is just going to create a second wave and a second lockdown. You know, we are ethnic minorities. You know, it's hitting ethnic minorities a lot more than it's hitting others. So I just think it's ridiculous, to be quite honest, especially for young age children. You know, they don't do any social distancing. It is very challenging because, you know, I've got a single child, but again, it's sort of like, you know, are we going to have them a little bit depressed or dead, you know, and the risk just isn't worth it. We have participated in a year one class Zoom call, and we have seen the children sitting very close to each other when they are at school, the ones that are, you know, key workers' children and so forth. So they're not managing it right now with about 7 of them in the class. I don't understand how they're going to manage it with 20 of them in a class, especially for children that are year one and reception age, you know. But they're just going to end up being stressed out and being told off all the time whilst they're at school. I'm kind of like, are they going to end up being more miserable? I don't know. But it's just something that I'm not looking to do. I would love to do it. I can't wait for my little one to go back to school. I am absolutely exhausted. I'm finding this all very challenging as I am a single parent also, and I've got a chronic health condition. But even still, I'd rather suffer in silence than send her to school and potentially do something that could end in the loss of life.
I'm a mum of 3 kids who are 4, 8 and 10. So one is in nursery and one is in year 6 and year 3. So 2 of mine will potentially go back in June. I'm okay with sending them back. And yes, I do sometimes think whether it's the right thing to do, but I think it's important that they have a little bit of time back in school, get back into that routine before the summer holidays. And I have to believe that the risks of them catching it or having a serious reaction to the coronavirus is going to be less because of their age. I'm sure the school will put in the right measures to maintain social distancing as much as they can. And I feel like my year 6 or 10-year-old child is more aware of how to do that. I maybe have more concerns about my younger one who's in nursery, but I think the schools will do the best that they can to protect the children and the staff.
Some mixed opinions there. Now, I would never judge anyone for wanting to send their child to school or not. I think me and my husband would probably send my eldest back to school. She's in year 6 and she understands what is happening and that there will be some social distancing. You know, she gets it, whereas younger children wouldn't. I mean, mentally, I feel like it would be good for her to go back because she can finish off primary school. She can get closure on that. She's getting fed up at home. You know, I'm trying to be understanding, and it's difficult. A lot of parents that I know saying that the kids are getting fed up, you know, having tantrums, crying and stuff. And I think all we can do instead of shouting and saying, you know, get with the program, we're supposed to be doing this, just be a little bit more understanding. Like I said, you know, I'm not the most patient person, but I have been trying my best. I guess just giving hugs and asking, are you okay? Things will be fine. Don't worry. And also, I try and say to them, look, you're not stuck at home. You are safe at home. And then I said that to my eldest this week. And my little one heard and she went, yeah, Didi, you're not stuck at home. You're not dead at home. You're safe at home. Wise words, I say. So let's get into today, the next part of today's episode. Oh, before I do that, I just wanted to say, in relation to the whole school stuff, if you haven't already, please listen to last week's episode of The Sisterhood on Mummy Imperfect, which is all about kids' mental health during lockdown. And I spoke to children's mental health expert, Shahana Knight, who gave some really good advice about how to prepare kids for going back to school. And there's also good things about screen time and the effects of that on kids, how much should they be having. And there's lots of voice notes from kids sharing their views on lockdown and homeschooling. So, you know, have a look and have a listen to that as you're listening to this. You can, that's still available. It's last week's episode on Podbean and iTunes. So let's get into the next part of today's episode. And that is about being in lockdown thousands of miles from home. Now, for a lot of people who are Asian or Black, you know, we have homes back home. And, you know, if you like, they are homes from home. A lot of people, including members of my family, like both on my side and my husband's side, are currently in lockdown in these homes from home, back home. They had plans to come back to the UK, but their flights got cancelled and they still don't know when they're going to be back in the UK. Now, in the case of my guest, who is TV and radio presenter and mum of two, Saima Ajram, she is stranded here in the UK. So Saima went to live in Pakistan a few years ago with her husband and her kids, and she came here for a short visit 9 weeks ago, and she's still here. Now, I'll let her tell you more. Have a listen to this.
3 years ago, I left my job at the BBC, my show, and decided that I wanted to uproot my family and move to the motherland.
Back home? You went back home then, yeah?
I did. It was like a full circle of life for me, because when we were younger, I'm not sure of your generation, but when I was growing up, there was a lot of, when we were, anytime anything would happen, you'd hear, oh my God, so-and-so has been taken to Pakistan. You know what? You better behave, otherwise we'll be dumped in Pakistan. Oh, yeah. We used to fear it, think, oh my God, Pakistan must be some kind of jail or jungle. They're going to dump us there. There's going to be no way out. And then now this discovering this new side and actually realizing that it's actually a fantastic, it's a great place to live. And I can't believe we feared it. And I can't believe they put that in us throughout our childhood, that we, you know, we should fear this and we shouldn't think about going back. But yeah, so it's me discovering my fears and overcoming them in a sense.
Do you know what? I actually wanted to move to India at one point. Like whenever we used to go and visit India when I was younger, the more time I stayed there, the more time I was like, oh, I could live here. And I actually wanted to. I don't know now if I could, but my youngest sister has done the same thing. She's gone to India and she's lives there now.
Does she have children?
She doesn't have children yet. She actually does art, and she's, you know, a part of the art scene in Delhi and stuff. So
you know what? I do wish more than ever before, I wish I'd gone when I was young and single. And I do wish that I had an opportunity to do stuff in my early 20s, and I wish that I'd just taken the plunge and done it then and not looked back.
Well, you know, everything happens for a reason at the right time. But listen, so you it was a permanent move, right? You moved there.
No, it was always going to be a 5-year thing. And we've done 3 already. It's just gone.
Okay, and here you are now in the UK. And so how many weeks have you been here now on this visit?
Well, this visit was supposed to be 3 weeks. We're into our 10th week now. And this was a holiday. We came over for a wedding. It was my husband's niece was getting married. And so I took off time from school and I arranged their work for 3 weeks. And I said, look, you know, family time is important. A lot, all of our actually most of my family and most of the girls' dad's side's family is all here. So I didn't want them to miss family time. And I thought, right, okay, even though it's in between term, we'll go to the wedding. So yeah, the first couple of weeks were great, wedding vibes, catching up with people. Although there was restrictions, I didn't meet all my friends because I was a bit concerned that I'd traveled and the corona stuff, it had been in the news. Corona was sort of like getting bigger and bigger. Awareness was raising at the time, but never did I think that lockdown would happen and that we would be here. We would stay here and it would mean we would have to stay here a lot longer. And actually not even know. I just saw a news report now that Qatar Airlines says that it won't be fully functional till 2023. Now that itself is scary because we came on Qatar, our airline, our return tickets were cancelled. I mean, yes, there's other ways of getting back, but it just goes to show the gravity of this thing, of the whole world changing so much that an airline like Qatar doesn't think that it's going to be returning to normal till 2023. Wow. I don't think, see, us being inside, we're okay. Alhamdulillah, I'm very lucky. I'm here at my parents' house. Yeah. I have family here. And that it's we're living rent free, and I don't have to worry. I've got a lot of love, food on the table, everything. Alhamdulillah, everything's great. But I think once we step outside, are we really going to understand and realise the gravity of this thing?
Yeah, no, it's true, and it's a bit scary, isn't it? Really, you have to take every day at a time, really. So, listen, how many people are you self isolating with then? How many people in the house?
It's my parents. Mm-hmm. And me, my girls, my husband, and my little niece.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all right. The house is big enough. Normally they're empty. They've got a 4-bedroom house. I've still got my old bedroom from before I was married. Okay. And my girls have got all the spare rooms. It's fine. And when, you know, everybody's got a place here. Everything is utilized. The house is big enough. Even downstairs, the lounges, there's enough room. And we could live here, actually. Mm-hmm. But for the girls, I do feel that a lot of their equipment, even my clothes, now that I think, although we're living in our pajamas all day, I just changed my top for you now, Rina. Although I've got my bottom underneath, my pajama bottoms. But yeah,
I've got leggings on. Listen, I've got leggings on. I changed my top.
Well, that's my outdoor wear leggings, mate. This is my PJs. But no, I'm actually really liking the fact that we're not, and we haven't spent much money on my clothes. Look, I love to buy, especially when I'm in England, I love to go shopping. And at the moment, the only thing we're buying is like PJs for the kids, extra shorts, and that kind of thing. There's nothing that we're spending on, which is, we're lucky.
Yeah.
And you know what it's like with little kids and little girls. Oh, yeah. My girls are shooting up at this age. And I bought some clothes with me when I came for some of the Asian functions. And, you know, with girls, you need an Asian suit, which either you need Asian suits or whatever. And I put it on Tijan the other day and it doesn't fit her anymore. The girls are growing like crazy, and that was only we've been here 9-10 weeks. I've outgrown them. I haven't worn them before.
This is the thing. It's like, I think that the kids' spring wardrobe, before anyone else gets to see it, other than the family members, they're going to have grown out of it anyway.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Are you feeling like it's getting too a little bit claustrophobic for you? And this is a judgment-free zone, by the way. The sisterhood of Mommy and Perfect is a judgment-free zone. At times, like, oh no, I know you've got space, 4 bedrooms, but do you kind of try to have your own in a corner sometimes?
I feel it, strangely enough, every Sunday morning. Like on the seventh day, I wake up and I think, oh my God, I'm so bored. I remember waking up a couple of weeks ago and saying to my husband, I'm so bored. And I went down and said to mom, I'm so bored. Simon, what do you want to do? The whole world is going on. So I'm just so bored. And then I decided, like, start learning to edit and start my YouTube stuff. I was like, I'm just so bored and sick of everything. And my kids go through that as well. You've got young girls, and you know that, you know, they've got their own ways of expressing. Tijan, my youngest, had an outburst yesterday, and she couldn't explain it, but she was just crying about everything. And we all go through it. And I think even that feeling would have happened even if I was in my own house. There would come points where you need that sanity. I need to want to see my friends. I need to want to go out. And even yesterday, I said to my husband, you know what? I really miss going out to eat. It's not as I don't miss the food. I miss that going out to a restaurant. Because it's Ramzan right now for us, and fasting time. And it's very, I didn't realize how social, how much of a social festival it was until this year, and how much socializing we actually do in Ramzan. although there's a lot of soul searching that takes place during this month, we spend a lot of time preparing and spending the fast opening time, which is iftar, with family and friends. And in Pakistan especially, we actually have sehri parties, which are, sehri is the time when you make fast in the morning, and you go out for a party because people do iftar with their families. Yeah. So you do sehri with your friends, and it's such a cultural, such a great atmosphere. And I so miss that. I can't believe this year it's just, it's zero.
Wow, I didn't know they did that, because I, for the first time ever last year, around that time last year, I went to an iftari party for the first time. So it was like a family friend, and so she invited us, and it was in Birmingham actually.
Nice.
A huge restaurant, and it was like, I was like, wow, like it was a really big deal, and they had like a fundraising thing going on as well.
Okay.
So an auction. Okay. Like, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So that was my first experience.
In Pakistan, it's a real cultural thing. You will go out with your friends, your family, and it's a done thing. And there are iftar parties. There's also sehri parties. I remember going to one iftar. There was about 500 people there. It was at the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad. And there was 500 or 600 people in the platter. It was a great layout. And people were enjoying themselves, socializing. It's like a big wedding. It's like a big wedding. We're all eating together, and it was nice. And the sehri time, everything's open throughout the night, and it's cooler in the evening as well, so you do spend that time together. It's a nice sociable time, and this year we're really missing that.
I know that that must be quite hard, but like, some, you know, in a way I feel like there are also people who are spending Ramzan like completely isolated on their own, and they're probably like wishing, oh, I wish I had my family to
My mum often reminds me, when, especially when I have my outbursts, I'm so bored, I'm so annoyed. And obviously I behave like that when I'm at my mum's. I don't normally behave like that, but when my mum's around, and I just feel compelled to be a child again, like,
yeah. And you're in your bedroom, you can get back in ways,
you know. And mom, and she'll say, Putra, you should be so glad that, you know, you've got your family, people are all alone. Can you imagine how you'd be feeling, or how I'd be feeling? She tells me how she would be feeling if I was in Pakistan still and this happened. I'd be so worried. I'm just so happy you're here. You should be so glad. Shukrani karni, she says in our language, meaning you should be happy that, you know, that you're here and we're together. And she says, I'm just glad that you're here. And she says, well, you know, you should just stop moaning.
I kind of wish that my parents were with me as well, because my parents are in India at this time as well. And like, my dad was supposed to come back already, but I don't know when he's gonna come back. And my mum like, we had a family wedding and loads of things planned for the summer, so everything was based around that, which is no longer happening. So I don't even know when my parents are gonna come back. So it is a bit like, you know, they're stranded there. They're stranded home.
I feel for them, because of I would rather be stranded here than there. It's because I'm really uncertain about the figures. I mean, I can't say about India, but in Pakistan especially, because I was, I'm doubtful of the kind of figures that we're hearing over here, whether they're true or not. I just hope things are okay out there. But I don't know if I believe some of the figures that I hear in the press from Pakistan. And I do feel that it's a lot more. There's a lot more going on that maybe we don't know about.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, actually. Like, do you know how severe is the lockdown? Are people on lockdown like here?
Well, yes and no. I keep hearing conflicting stories, because I hear the lockdown was lifted on Saturday, but it's in phases. And people over there, lifestyle is very different over there. People who can afford to stay at home will stay at home. And then there's a lot of people who live below the poverty line, and they are compelled to work. They have to work to earn a living. They earn in the day and they eat at night, you know. And for that reason, they said we're lifting the lockdown. But then I just think that's going to mean that the virus, there's chances of it spreading in like wildfire, you know. And people live, especially the people that do live below the poverty line, they live in small places, there's a lot of overcrowding. So, yeah, I am concerned. I am really concerned, and I'm worried, and I've got a lot of friends there. And then there's other stories that come out. I heard in Karachi some people saying, oh, it's a fake lockdown, and we're telling people it's a lockdown, but people are still out and about. But then how much can you police it? You know, we've had the same issue here in England, where people have been out, and there's been conflicting reports and advice, even from our Prime Minister yesterday, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
People are really confused from this yesterday, and the stay alert. What does stay alert mean? You know, it's not as if the coronavirus is a pimple on someone's face. You can tell
it's, you can see it and then move out of the way.
you know, so it's a really difficult time, and it's the first time it's happened in our lives. So I think everybody's alert, everybody's afraid, no one knows what's going to work. You know, still we've got a high number of deaths. I think 400 or something in the last 24 hours.
I think so.
That's still quite high. It's really high. Yes, they say we've come over the curve, but you know, how long before we can go up again if we lift this lockdown completely? If we're still meeting people, and from Wednesday, I think things are gonna go back to normal. How can you police? How can you say to someone you can go out in twos, or you can meet people from other households outdoors?
Yeah.
And then what's to say we won't go to their place? We won't go to their house. You know, what's stopping us now?
I know. Yeah.
And there's also a sense I've noticed here. There's people are fed up. Everyone's like, I don't care. Let it just happen and let us get through it, because they're hearing stories of people that are recovering. Although there's a lot of deaths, there's a lot more people that have recovered. So yeah, it's a very uncertain time to be in this world.
And you know what, you mentioned your daughters before and just how they're feeling and stuff. And like in my last podcast, the last episode, I spoke about children's mental health, and like I had a lot of just like voice notes from kids themselves and how they're feeling. Yeah. But how have you been kind of helping them to keep calm and positive? And how much has the change affected them? And when I say change, I mean there's been a change for all kids, like homeschooling and staying at home. But also because, like you said, your kids are like home from home, aren't they? Like thousands of miles from their...
You know what? The girls spent a lot of their holidays at Nani. So this is for them. Luckily for my kids, it's like an extended holiday.
Okay.
And... yeah, had we been living here, I think it would have been harder to keep them indoors, because then there would have been the whole, okay, there's no activities, I haven't seen my friends. Because their friends are technically not here, they're not missed, they know that we can't see them anyway, so they haven't worried about that. They haven't spoken about that much. They do get to speak to their friends on FaceTime and, occasionally, and it's not a lot. However, the one thing that they do talk about regularly is missing their cousins and that they haven't been able to see, because they associate coming to the UK and spending time with their cousins. There's nine in the Ajram family. There's nine of this little group that are the same age. So they love each other. And that's something that Susie always talks about. Tijan always thought, I miss my cousins. I want to see them. However, they like being in the UK. And they love the food here, and that's something we've got loads of. They did miss that a lot.
Okay.
And for them, I'm lucky that it's like an extended holiday. Had you been in Pakistan, it probably would have been harder for them, I think. Because in Pakistan, socializing and going out, they love that.
Yeah.
And it's about being in the outdoors, you know. So keeping them indoors over there would have been a lot harder, I think. Girls, mentally, there's the odd breakdown here and there. And then we have a lot of... You know, there's a lot of cuddles and kisses and a lot of I love you. I do a lot. I'm smothering them here. And then Nani, my mum, is very, very loving. And she's always trying to please them. Let's do this now. Do you want to eat this now? And then my sister comes along and, you know, she's like, oh, let's do this. Girls, I've got this delivered for you today. I've got this. You know, so there's always something. My brothers are trying. Like the other day, it was Tijan's birthday, and she wanted a football. Me and my husband don't play football. And then so my husband ordered her a football and said, let's go to the park. And then her mama rang her and said, I'll meet you in the park and I'll teach you tricks. And he kept a distance from her, but he taught her all these football tricks. And I just thought, you know, she wouldn't have been able to do that in Pakistan. And she was just happy that, you know, mama was there and taught me all these things. And, you know, we're lucky that we're using these are little things that wouldn't have mattered, I think, 3 months ago. But it meant a lot to her. And she's like really held on to it. And she's been trying in the gardens from what mama taught her. So, yeah. We're okay. They're okay.
And, you know, like I watched your little YouTube video, actually, about, you know, when you went for your 1 hour of exercise and stuff with your kids, who are, by the way, super cute and very articulate girls.
Thank you.
And so one of the things that you said really kind of resonated with me, like how something along the lines of like how the kids will behave, how the parent behaves, like you will set the tone of how they behave.
Yeah.
And respond.
I think that's really important, and I've seen that with my girls. If I start stressing out in front of them, they're super stressed out, and you hear it in their tone, in their voice, in their actions, and there will be a reaction. And like for example, yesterday something completely different, but my mum had a reaction from she dyed her roots, and she completely reacted to the hair dye, and all her eyes, they were all swollen. Yeah. And my youngest and my niece, they just got so stressed, and they started talking about it, and they were in tears, they started crying, they went to the, they didn't want Nani to see them crying, and they were really responded. And then again throughout the day, to the night, the little Sian said, 3-year-old said, Nani, you're gonna die. It stays with them, you know, and they do stress. And when they see me stressed, ever at first I was very panicked, because you know we're so far from home, and I just was thinking the girls are missing, I'm gonna miss out on school, homeschooling, how am I gonna do this, you know, on the internet, how am I going to, how am I gonna, you know, what they haven't got there, I haven't bought anything with me, literally I bought wedding clothes, and I bought a few pairs of leggings and tops. I didn't think that we would be here for so long. A lot of the items, I didn't even think in the long run, a lot of their, they've got upsizes, you know, as a mom you always buy an upsize.
Yeah,
the upsize clothes, I left them all in Pakistan, I didn't even think I'd need them, and you know, I haven't got anything, I've literally got nothing, I couldn't see anything besides all the everything crumbling down. And the girls reacted, and then I realized, oh my god, you know, if I behave like this, how are the children gonna, how am I gonna last? We don't know how long this is gonna go on for. So then I started focusing on the positives. You know, we talk about it, we write diaries, I encourage them to write a diary about how you're handling it. And I say, always say, oh, look, this is a time in history, we're very lucky that we're healthy. This is something you'll be telling your grandchildren about, and one day they're going to be at school and they're going to come home and say, Grandma, did you remember, were you alive when this happened? And you'll say, yes. So I just want you to write these things down, and maybe you can give them that diary one day. So yeah, I'm trying my best to be positive and get myself into a routine so that the girls feel that this is a part of life, so there's no panic.
Mm-hmm. And because, are you homeschooling them? Are they getting school?
Yes, we homeschool. We've had online classes. They've got their online tutor, which is especially for the older one. I'm doing work with the younger one. However, they've changed things in Pakistan. They've given them their summer holidays now. So during Ramzan, they've had their summer holidays. They go back to school in June now, and school will restart in June. And then they change their academic year in August. So they will have 2 more months of school for this year. I think it's quite a clever way to do things, actually, because, you know, everyone's off anyway. You might as well just give them their summer holidays now. And so they're on summer vacation right now. It started on the 1st of May.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they've been on vacation.
Okay. So what about you guys going back? So what's happening with that? And what's the situation? Do you know?
It's really... when I stop to think about it, I get a bit tense. But then I think, nobody knows. Just now it was on the news about Qatar Airlines, so I just said to my husband, so what's going to happen? And he said, we'll go on another airline. I don't know, because I would rather be here until it blows over. Now I don't want to be like uprooting and shifting and rushing, simply because, you know, we're gonna have to stay 2 weeks in quarantine there, and we don't know what things hold out there. The school is going to continue online lessons until July, they've said. So the girls are not going to be physically in school. My work suffers because my radio show, I can't do from here. I do a radio show out there. I can't do that from here. I was doing it from here for the whole month, but live is live, and live broadcast is, the momentum isn't there for me. And then on top of that, my news that I was doing, I can't do my television news from here, although I'm doing odd hits here and there. But my work is my work will suffer, but then it's not as important as our mental well-being and being safe and secure, really.
No, yeah. Absolutely. So you know, you said that you're not working and there's been so much change and stuff. Like, from your particular experience so far, do you think that it's changed you in any way, or like changed your mindset or the way you feel about things or priorities?
Are you talking about since coronavirus?
Yeah, or since you've been in
how well the world's changed.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you what, I think it's all over, I'm going to go buck wild, Rina. That's it. As a travel the world, I'm not going to restrict myself anymore. I'm going to socialize with everyone and everyone, you know. I don't know. It's made me realize that I want who my loved ones are and who I really want to spend time with, and how much I've maybe been antisocial in a way, with not purposely, but not on purpose, but I haven't given time to certain relationships that I should have given more time to, and I miss so many people in my lives and so many opportunities to make new friendships and given time to those friendships. And that and living in the outdoors and appreciating the outdoors. And I said to my husband, the next house that we get now, I'm going to kit it out like this. And it's going to be so that if we ever have lockdown again, that we never need to go out and it won't be bad. And he was like, yeah, he just thinks I've gone bad. But yeah, I it's made me think a lot about where I am, what being social, antisocial is, you know. There's my oldest, I don't know about your children, Rena, but I've got two. My both are completely different personalities. One is very sociable, mm-hmm. and one is shy. She doesn't like to socialize. She doesn't like to talk too much. I have to really encourage her to make friends, and have to really encourage those friendships and play dates and stuff. And she changed, alhamdulillah. She was getting better and better with socializing and greeting people. In Pakistan, there's a real big, they do work on grooming the child and encourage them to make these relationships and to in the family and outside as well, and friendships. And then now I have to teach them to be I call it being antisocial, you know. Yeah. This whole self-isolation, when you see someone, don't talk, don't get too close, you know, don't look at them, cross the road, you know, that kind of thing. And it's really made me think about what socializing and being antisocial is, and I just think when this is all over, I'm going to socialize till the last day, till the end of time.
I'm going to hug strangers. I am.
Given Corona, I was just trying to work on my next YouTube video, and I was talking about how we've been greeting people and how like greetings have changed, and how, you know, you have elbow tap is a new way to say hello. So I'm going to be exploring elbow tap, and it's just greeting, socializing, meeting people. I want to do more of it, and I want to change that language, I think, not sort of like cocoon ourselves. When I went to Pakistan initially, I did cocoon myself. You know, it was a journey in itself, and it was a bit difficult. It wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. And now looking back at it, I realized how cocooned I was. That's why that experience has made this not as bad as it would have maybe a few years ago.
And you're in a unique situation. Like, I'm sure there's other people in your situation as well. And like I said, like, my family is far away from me. And
I do feel for your family, because luckily I'm in my second home. I'm at my parents' house. You know, that's like every girl's dream. I'll go, you know, so I could have been in like a completely strange place on holiday, stranded and trying to get on that last flight home. So for me, my husband's here, my girls are here, and that's all that matters. It's fine. We're all together, and we're not isolated or stranded.
Yeah.
So, and you know, this time I'm having my parents right now, my family, I'm not going to get it back. I did always wonder if I'm ever going to get those opportunities back again, because I lived in London and we were not. So I'd left Birmingham. It's been over 10 years now. So I haven't had this time back since then. So, yeah, it's great in a sense that I'm getting to spend so much quality time with them, rekindling our relationship again.
Yeah. Cherish it. Even if you have to lock yourself away in the bathroom, just cherish it. Yeah.
We're all right, you know, actually. We're used to being with each other and over and under, if you know what I mean. And like, we're all really strong personalities, and we have outbursts and we're fine again, and then we laugh at each other, and then we talk to each other, and oh god, have you heard this, and we're back again, and it's fine. It's actually okay. I'm really all for it now. Extended families, you know, you're never going to get bored, are you, really?
That sounds like my family, what you described. So yeah, I hear you.
It's so good for the children to have their grandparents in their lives. You know, like, my parents' food bill has gone up way over £300 a week, and bless them, they don't even moan. I was feeling so bad the other day, and they're just so happy. They're like, we're just so happy you're here. We're so glad. I was like, Dad, we're costing you a lot of money. But I was like, no, that's my granddaughters. They can have whatever they want. It's like, wow, lucky them.
Yeah, so it's lovely. All right then, love, I'm going to leave you now. And take care of yourself. And I hope you see you again soon.
Thank you. And do subscribe to the channel. I'll give myself a plug here. It's Saima Adram Vlogs, if you're listening. Yeah, make sure you follow. And I'm Saima Adram Official on Instagram as well. So it'd be nice to see you on there.
That was the lovely Saima Adram. Do subscribe to her YouTube channel and follow her on Instagram if you want to see more about how she is navigating lockdown with her family. Now, lastly, I couldn't talk about this topic without mentioning my mom, the queen bee. And as you have heard me talk about in my chat with Saima, you know, I mentioned my mom and dad a lot. So it's only right that you do hear from my mom. This is what she has to say about being in lockdown back home in India.
Hello, I'm Reena's mom, and I'm currently locked down in India in a place called Faridabad, which is just outside of the Delhi border. The Delhi border is still shut due to the virus and the spikes in COVID cases. We are now a green zone area, but that doesn't mean that we have total freedom to move around. The malls are still shut, the main markets are closed, all leisure activities are closed. However, we have the small local market that's open, and the good thing about that is that if I need anything, I just need to call the vendors and they will deliver anything that I want home. Amazon is now delivering, but only essential services. I have a veg man that comes in into our lane, and he will supply us with whatever fruit and vegetable that we need. So we are quite lucky in that way. However, I do miss jumping into my car and driving down to Tesco's or Morrison's. So we don't have that freedom because life here is very different. During lockdown, I've also started painting and drawing. But a lot of my time is taken in keeping this home clean because we have frequent dust storms. So that means constant cleaning. I miss my maid. She's one of the migrants that have now gone back to their villages due to their unemployment. So they have no wage at all. But one of the things I really, really miss are my grandchildren. And for now, I think that I'm going to have to stay in India until we have further relaxations of travel. So I'm just looking forward to going back and seeing them.
It was good to get an insight from my mum there about what it's like to be kind of stranded in a home from home. You know, we had a big family wedding this year that we were all going to go to, and it's my cousin's wedding, you know, bless her, she's having to postpone, as a lot of people are, but the kind of the whole plans of the year for the whole family were built around the wedding, and, you know, internationally everyone was going to link up, and, you know, I'm talking about over three continents, the whole family was going to get together, so it's like a big thing, and, you know, now it's all up in the air, no one knows what's going on. As you can see, you know, my mum's trying to make the most of things, so is my dad. I spoke to him today as well, and he basically said, oh, your mum's being nice to me because she's just trying to make sure that I stay alive because she doesn't want to be left on her own. Fair enough, you know, he's got good one-liners. And, you know, my mum's message, did you notice that she mentioned grandchildren, not children, once? Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, Mum. No, but seriously, thank you, Mum, for everything, and obviously for giving us a little insight into what it's like over there in Delhi in lockdown. You know, another thing that I think we can do to keep in touch with grandparents and other relatives is obviously, you know, WhatsApp video calls, FaceTime, or Skype, Zoom, all these things. But today, what me and my kids did was, because it's International Families Day today, I mean, like, who cares, right? It's International Families Day all the time. But I went on Twinkle because I was trying to find some work for my kids to do, because my middle daughter was a bit sick of the schoolwork. So me being me was like, do you know what? Forget that. Let mommy set you some work. So the work was, on Twinkle it said, it's International Families Day. And there's a different things that you can do. One of the things is doing a family tree, which we are going to do. Our family is quite big when you go back to, like, my grandparents, you know. So that's going to take some time. But today what we did was we interviewed grandparents. So they're lucky that they have three grandparents. My mum and dad, obviously, who are in India. and my father-in-law, who's in Ghana. So he himself is also stranded, if you like, in a home from home because he had plans to be back in the UK, but he's still there. So they did video calls and phone calls and interviewed them. So there was a list of different questions, you know, when and where were you born? Where did you grow up? What did you used to do when you were younger? What were your aspirations? And what do you think, what's your recipe for happiness in life? Things like that, like really nice, cute things. And you wouldn't normally probably ask them of your grandparents, but I just thought, what a lovely thing to do because, you know, you're far away, but these things, I don't know, they just kind of help to nurture that connection, I guess. It's just, I think it's a really nice thing to do. And plus, it's legacy, you know, it's passing down of knowledge and information and history through generations. So that is a really nice thing to do. It's a good idea if your kids are lucky enough to have grandparents, but not lucky enough that the grandparents are far away from them. I guess the main thing, though, is that although I'm looking forward to seeing my mum and dad and, you know, us spending time together and everything, and even my father-in-law coming back, it's the main thing is that everybody is safe. You know, it's a really challenging time now in terms of mental health as well as physical health. Like, people are really starting to feel it now, mentally and emotionally. It's been 8 weeks now in lockdown, and it's just one of those things that we have to go through. You know, it's like that book. As parents will be familiar with that book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Where they go, you know, we can't go through, we can't go under it, we can't go over it, we've got to go through it. But we do got to go through it. We have to go through this. And the only way, when we come out of this, the only way is going to be upwards, I believe. And as humans, I feel like we can be challenged, but we can do it, and we can find ways to hustle. We can find reasons to smile. And so I hope you do find reasons to smile this week. So thank you for listening. Please leave a comment, share this podcast, and make sure that you subscribed. Join me again next week. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy. Find reasons to smile. They are there. Bye.